All right, good morning, everyone. Let's begin. Does everyone have a sheet? I have extras up here if anybody needs. Okay. So today is going to be our third shiur on Kapitel Chavdal. It'll actually be our final shiur on Kapitel Chavdal. There are a few additional chapters of Talmud which we still have to cover. But just to reorient ourselves a little bit, so I put the kapitel over here on number one, the David Mizmar. So we spent the last two shiurim speaking about a variety of different ideas. In the first shiur, we spoke about the concept of the David Mizmor versus Mizmor. I'm not going to review everything, just to reorient ourselves. We spoke about the David Mizmor versus Mizmor le David. We spoke about the incredible elation of David HaMelech in this particular capital of Tehillim because he was privileged to have just purchased the threshing ground, the threshing floor of Aravna the Yavusi, and he realizes that this is going to be the future site to the Beis HaMikdash. David HaMelech's incredible joy, despite the fact that he knew that he would never get to build his beloved Beis HaMikdash, which he so desperately pined for, he nevertheless found the incredible simcha in what he was able to do. In last week's shiur, we spoke about the Niki Kapayim Ubar Levav, the Mi Ya'ale Bahar Hashem, this idea of creating spiritual intimacy with the Ribono Shel Olam, the idea that the goal is not just to experience spiritual highs, it's not just to ascend and then to descend, but it's ultimately Mi Yakum Bimkom Kodesho. It's the ability to maintain consistency and continuity and yet passion and vibrancy within one's relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And David HaMelech told us how to do that. Niki Kapayim Ubar Levav, and we saw three different interpretations as to what those ideas mean. So what I'd like to focus on this week is actually the last three psukim of the kapitel, and I underlined them for you. It begins with Pasuk Zayin, Su'u sha'arim rasheichem, v'hinaschu pischei olam, v'yavo melech hakavod. You gates, lift your heads and be uplifted, you everlasting portals, so that the King of Glory may enter. Mize melech hakavod, who is this King of Glory? Hashem izuz v'gibor, Hashem gibor milchama. The Lord who is strong and mighty, the Lord who is a mighty warrior. Su'u sha'arim rasheichem, u'su'u pischei olam. The Yavo Melech HaKavod. And again, David HaMelech seems to repeat the same thing. Lift, you gates, lift your heads up. You lift your heads and lift up your everlasting portals so that the King of Glory may enter. Mi huze Melech HaKavod. Who is this King of Glory? Hashem Tzivakos hu Melech HaKavod Sela. The Lord of Hosts, He is the King of Glory forever. So the obvious question is, what is this talking about? What is it? Don't be embarrassed. Don't be embarrassed. It's okay. What is this talking about? You know, again, remember, I mentioned this a couple of times already since we've just started this last semester, which is in general, poetry, of course, is different than just a narrative. So in a narrative, again, the goal is that the reader should read the written word, and it should be obvious what the writer is trying to convey. In poetry, sometimes the poet Dafka uses elusive terms because the poet wants the reader to use a certain amount of imagination. Poetry requires exceptional imagination. And so the reader is also supposed to be a little bit imaginative to be able to tap into that same creative power of the writer. So often I've mentioned that when you read Sefer Tehillim, you know, the power of Tehillim is such, for many of us, the power of Tehillim is just in when we read it. Often we don't have a clue as to what it is that we're reading. But amazingly enough, there's still something so profound about the experience. You can't say that about many things in Judaism. If you try to read the Parshas HaShavua and you don't understand a word that you're saying, you're really not going to get anything out of it. But there's something about Sefer Tehillim where people throughout the ages have read it cover to cover, very often the common person not having a clue as to what it actually means, and yet somehow it revived them. Somehow it carried them to the power of David HaMelech's words. But we're not going to be content with that. We actually want to try to understand it as well. So we look at these phrases, and besides the fact that they're repetitive, we actually don't know what David HaMelech is talking about. Lift up your gates. Open up. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is coming in. Who is God? It's good. What's happening over here? So I want to share with you today two approaches. One kind of one simpler, almost faster approach, and the other one, which is going to take us on a little bit of a journey. So let's take a look at number two. Rav Hirsch, in his commentary on this kapitel, writes the following. Su, paragraph A. It is not only Ha'aret that is the Lord's. His world order does not rule only in the sphere of immutable nature. It is his wish, rather, to found his kingdom in the sphere of unfettered human activity, where his moral law shall help shape human affairs. Tila v'yosheva. So now, what Rav Hirsch is pointing out is something amazing. When David HaMelech begins this kapitel, the David Mizmor, l'Hashem ha'aretz umlo'o, tevel v'yosheva. What is he describing? He's describing universal God. Universal God, the God who owns the celestial sphere, the God who owns the earth down below, but it's universal God. Kodesh Baruch Hu controls and is in charge of everything. So Rav Hirsch writes, but amazingly enough, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have a desire just to be universal God. God has a desire to also be personal God. And he goes on, Teva v'yosheva shall be the next sphere to which his reign on earth shall extend. Therefore, the call goes out to the Sha'arim, the gates of the world of human society. This is the literal meaning of Sha'ar, to be lifted up. Let them be lifted up for the Melech HaKavod, the King of Glory, to whom alone all honor is due, whose covered greatness is revealed by all the splendors of heaven and earth. So if Hirsch here says something absolutely amazing, that's when David HaMelech says, Su'u Sha'arim Resheichem, open up the gates of what? Now, interestingly enough, we know that historically, you find this many times throughout Tanakh, that where did the Beis Din, right? There's an obligation for each community to have its own local judiciary. Where did they often convene? By the gate of the city, right? What's the most well-known example of that? I heard Rus, excellent. Rus, so remember after that whole episode of Megillas Rus, where Rus sneaks into the granary at night and Boaz finds her. So right after that, Boaz says, I'm going to take care of you one way or the other, whether I marry you or there's a close relative. And what is the next post? They went to the Shar. They went to the gate of the city. That's where Beis Din convened. So if Hirsch says something amazing, he says, biblically, Shar always means the entrance ways to the city. So when David HaMelech says, such a beautiful insight, when David HaMelech says, Su'u Sha'arim Rasheichem, what David HaMelech is saying is that Kadosh Baruch Hu says to us, open up the gates of your city and let me, God, in. What does that mean? That so often, says David HaMelech, we look at HaKadosh Baruch Hu as over there, and we're over here. God is God. I believe in God. I respect God. I'm in awe of God. But the question is, does God actually permeate my everyday life? So what David HaMelech is saying is, it's not just enough to believe in universal God, Su'u Sha'arim Rasheichem. You have to open up the gates of your city, and of course, over here, gates of city is also just the metaphor for personal gates. I have to take universal God, and somehow universal God has to become personal God. Open up the gates and allow HaKadosh Baruch Hu into your day-to-day life. And he goes on, skip to paragraph B. So what does David HaMelech say? Mi zemelech hakavod. Who is this King of Glory? In what capacity then does the Melech HaKavod make his first bid for entry into the gates of the life of human society? It as, paragraph C, it is as Izuz v'Gibor, invincible and strong, as Gibor Milchama, mighty in battle, that he first seeks entry into these gates, which are to become the portals of his future. He is invincible when he makes a demand, withholds a favor. He overcomes anything that might resist his will as regards the future welfare of mankind. Hashem appears, first of all, as the mighty warrior, sure of victory, waging battle against the continued existence of all that is morally evil, because he is Hashem, because he trains mankind so that it may achieve its destined salvation in the future. So what does that mean in English? Hirsch is saying something amazing. He says, what's the first God conception we possess? You know, it's interesting. If you think about the child and a parent, so very often when a parent has to impress upon a child certain very important ideas, how does a parent have to do it? With fear. With fear, right? This, by the way, I think is part of the downfall of modern parenting, because modern parenting does not believe in fear at all. You have to talk everything out with your kid. You don't have to talk everything out with your child, right? I remember a couple of weeks ago, I was in a store, and the child was mamish having a temper tantrum, because whatever, mother wouldn't buy us whatever. And the mother bent down to the child and said, tell me how you're feeling. Tell me how you're feeling. If my kid did that, I could tell you how they'd be feeling. You know, it was, meaning, there is this idea, it's the same way, I tell my child, you have to look both ways before you cross the street. You have to look both ways. And if the child doesn't do that, so it's important, there has to be a ramification for that. Because I could tell my child I love them so much, but that love is not going to initially convince them to do the right thing. As the child gets older and progresses, so a child understands my parent loves me, my parent cares about me, and they want me to be well. But our first conception, there has to be a certain element of fear. That's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself says, he doesn't just say, Kabed es avicha ve'asimecha. He says, Ish imo va'aviv tiro'u. There has to be an element of fear in the child-parent relationship. Now, what I would tell you is, fear, as you get older, transforms into awe. Obviously, an adult child is not going to fear their parent, but hopefully they're going to revere their parents. So what begins as fear transforms into awe and reverence. So what David HaMelech is saying is, it's no different with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Our initial conception of God is what? Hashem izuz v'gibor. Hashem gibor milchama. What's our initial conception of God? God is strong. And what does it mean if God is strong? What does that mean? That means if I don't do what he wants, he could punish me. He could hurt me. He could harm me. There are ramifications for not fulfilling the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You know, the Gemara says that although we have this conception of God as a loving father, the Gemara says, Kol Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu Vatron, Yevatro Me'osa. Literally, it's not the prettiest Gemara, but literally translated, whoever says that God overlooks everything, let his inside spill out. What Chazal were trying to express in a not-so-sugar-coated fashion was this idea that God is forgiving, but if you think that God turns a blind eye to everything, you're absolutely wrong. HaKadosh Baruch Hu turns a blind eye to nothing. God sees everything. He chooses to forgive many things, and he chooses not to forgive other things. So what David HaMelech is saying over here is, when we first hear, we want HaKadosh Baruch Hu to come into our world. We want him to come into our gates. But what's our first God conception? Our first God conception is God is a warrior. God is strong. God is possessing might. But then Rav Hirsch goes on. Paragraph D. But amazingly enough, David HaMelech asked this question. Let's remember that the format of Zayin, Ches, Tes, and Yud is a repetitive format. In Pasuk Zayin, in Pasuk 7, David HaMelech says, open up the gates, let the King of Glory come in. Who is the King of Glory? Hashem, who's strong, he's a warrior. Then Pasuk Tes, again, open up the gates, let the King of Glory in. Pasuk 10, who is the King of Glory? Now, what does David HaMelech do? He doesn't give the same answer. If you'll notice in Pasuk Yud, he doesn't call HaKadosh Baruch Hu Hashem Izuz V'Gibor, Hashem Gibor Melchama. He doesn't call him military God. He doesn't call him strong God. What does he call him? Hashem Tzivakos, Hu Melech HaKavod Selah. Says Rav Hirsch something amazing. Paragraph D. It is not Mizeh as in verse 8, but Mihuzeh, who then is the King of Glory? What character does he assume as he enters into the portal of human society, which have now opened of their own accord? At this time, he no longer appears as Izuz V'Gibor, or as Gibor Melchama. Now the struggle for the acknowledgement of God, a fight that went on throughout history, is over and done. Therefore, it is Hashem Tzivakos, as the Lord of the world, ruling not only nature, but also looking upon all the world of man as his hosts, that he passes through the open portals. Or in other words, Rav Hirsch is describing something amazing. Let's bring this all together. So what David HaMelech is saying over here is something amazing. That we begin by talking about universal God. But you can't allow just for a relationship with universal God. I have to allow HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be a God in my life. Su'ush arim rasheichim. Open up the gates. Allow HaKadosh Baruch Hu into your world. What's going to be your first conception of that God that enters into your gates? Hashem izuz v'gibor. Hashem Gibor Milchama, strong God, and sometimes punishing God. Sometimes the God who, if I don't follow his will, there will be ramifications. But David HaMelech says, you know what the greatest problem in spirituality is? That so many people are spiritually stunted. So many people never progress into adult spirituality, and they're locked in childish spirituality. So many adults walk around with this conception of Hashem Izuz V'Gibor. That's the God that they know. So why do I keep Shabbos? Because I don't want to die. Why do I go ahead and give tzedakah? Because I don't want to die. Why do I go ahead and do mitzvahs? Because I don't want to get punished. And everything they do is because I don't want to get patched. That's wonderful when you're two. It's not good when you're 22, and it's certainly not good when you're 52. A person has to spiritually mature, and that's what David HaMelech says. When you let God into your life, who is the God that you have to have a relationship with as an adult? Mi uze melech hakavod? Hashem Tzevakos. You understand, what does it mean, Hashem Tzevakos? The Lord of hosts. What does that mean? You see, normally when we use this term, this is a term that's used with HaKadosh Baruch and the Malachim. Right, that the Malachim are the legions of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Says David HaMelech, no. The Malachim are not the legions of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You know who the legions of HaKadosh Baruch Hu are? We are the legions of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. God desires to have a relationship with us. So take advantage of it. And not just a childish Izuz V'Gibor, but a mature spiritual relationship. And so here David HaMelech is telling us something absolutely amazing, that one of the most important things in our development as Jews is to make sure that we experience spiritual maturation. We begin by having a relationship with Hashem Izuz V'Gibor, the strong God, because that's how relationships often have to start. There has to be a certain element of fear. And that fear, as I mentioned before, doesn't go away, but it morphs into reverence. But more than reverence, it has to become love. And that's Hashem Tzivakos. You understand that God could certainly choose to remain in his celestial sphere. He could choose to remain in whatever you want to call it, Yerushalayim Shamala, Beis HaMikdash Shamala, wherever God lives, wherever God's abode is, he could choose to remain there. But he chooses to enter our gates, not because he has to, not because he needs to, but simply because he wants to. And what greater demonstration on the part of the divine that he wants a relationship with us than that? And so says David HaMelech, make sure that we spiritually mature as we go through life. So beautiful insight. And now again, that also speaks to the repetition. So in Zayin Ches is the beginning of the relationship, the opening of the gates. That's Izuz V'Gibor relationship. And in Tes Yud, it's once again reopening the gates or keeping the gates open as we mature. In which case, hopefully our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu matures as well. I can't stress enough how important this is to allow the relationship. It's, you know, if you think about it, it's no different than any other life relationship. Just like a marriage doesn't remain the same. Marriage is not supposed to remain the same. Because as you get older, you become more mature, you become different people. Your relationship has to keep up with the pace of your personal growth. It's no different than every life relationship has to evolve. And sometimes you'd be surprised that people, when it comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they're still that little child, you know, back in first or second grade with those same basic lessons, and the relationship itself has never evolved. But if I'm an adult with a childish relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know what's going to happen? That relationship is going to be unfulfilling. It's the same way that if I have the same relationship with my wife, who I'm married to, as I did when we were dating, that's not going to work because we're different people. We've evolved. So if I have a childish relationship with God that I had when I was 7 and I have it now when I'm 37, it's not going to go anywhere. So David, and again, this is a share by itself in terms of how one allows one's relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to evolve and to mature. Those lessons are partially embedded over here, but the truth is they deserve their own devoted series of shiurim. But that's what David HaMelech is saying. Su'ushar Roshechem, open the gates, allow God in, but understand when you open the gates when you're young, that's one relationship. As you open the gates continuously through life, allow the relationship to change, to develop, and to evolve. Which now brings us to our second approach. Hosts. So that's the novel. Usually what it means is the fact that wherever HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes, there are legions of angels with him. Just like the king never goes unescorted. So the image that's painted for us is wherever HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes, there are myriads of angels. The novelty over here is that refers to suggesting that Tzivakos refers to humanity. Hashem Tzivakos, God does not just desire to be celestial God, he desires to be our God. We are the hosts, so to speak. We are the ones ultimately that are here to receive him. So look at number 3, a second approach. My pleasure. Second approach. So Rashi points out over here, and this is going to open up a much larger discussion. Rashi points out, Su'sham Rasheichem, Bimei Shlomo Bino. Now, interestingly enough, this is always amazing. When David HaMelech says something that is prophetically going to be, or he says something prophetic, he says something that is going to be recited in the future. Let's say it like that. So remember, again, we already pointed out in our first shiur on this kapitel, two shiurim ago, that kapitel Chavdal David HaMelech created in order to be sung at the day of the consecration of the Beis HaMikdash. He wouldn't be there, but ultimately he wanted his psalm, he wanted his kapitel to be recited. So Rashi points out that although the whole David HaMelech meant for the whole kapitel to be recited at the inauguration of the Beis HaMikdash, in fact, it was these last four psukim that occupied a dominant place on the day when the Beis HaMikdash was consecrated. How so? Skip down to number five. There's an amazing Gemara Maseches Sanhedrin. The Gemara writes, Vinikesi mipasharav. Amar lefanov. Ribono shel olam. This is a conversation between David HaMelech and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what happens? David HaMelech says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono shel olam, mechol li al oso avon kulo. Forgive me for that sin in totality. What sin is David HaMelech referring to? Bathsheba. Now, we've discussed already numerous times that the event that colored David HaMelech's life more than any other event was the episode with Bathsheba. Again, very quickly, David HaMelech is on his rooftop. He sees a woman bathing on her rooftop. He desires her. He sends for her. He has relations with her. She becomes pregnant. Only one issue, she's married to another man by the name of Uriah Hachiti. David HaMelech then sends Uriah Hachiti out to battle on the front lines with the intention of having him killed. Uriah Hachiti is killed in battle. Again, just as a technical aside, David HaMelech instituted a very important practice, which is very important for this story, which is that every soldier that went out to war gave his wife a conditional get. This was the institution of David HaMelech's army, in order that there would be no aguna problem. Because in the event that soldiers went missing in action, what happens to the wife? Sometimes there are not witnesses that a man died. So any man that would not return from the battle after X amount of time, his wife would retroactively be divorced. So it turns out, therefore, technically, halachically, David HaMelech did not commit an act of adultery because retroactively, Bathsheba was already a divorced woman at the time that he was with her. Nevertheless, this was a huge stain on David HaMelech, a huge stain. David is confronted by Nasan the Navi afterwards. Nasan HaNavi gives him a homashal. David HaMelech's the child with whom Bathsheba was pregnant from that night with David, dies as a baby. That's part of the punishment for David HaMelech. And David HaMelech is given a number of other punishments as well, which is he's going to be an uprising from his home, which took place in the form of Avshalom, who was not a child of David and Bathsheba, child of someone else, well, child of David, but not with Bathsheba. And ultimately that he would have ongoing discontent within the kingdom. So the whole episode of Bathsheba, it's amazing how sometimes one event changes your life in entirety. So we know, interestingly enough, God ultimately smiles on the union between David and Bathsheba, and the proof to that is that their second son was Shlomo HaMelech. And remember, Kodesh Baruch Hu calls Shlomo HaMelech Yedidya. Yedidya, he's my Yedid, he's my beloved one. So ultimately, somehow in the cosmic sphere, this was all supposed to happen. It just wasn't supposed to happen like that. David and Bathsheba were destined for each other, but not like that. It wasn't supposed to unfold the way it unfolded. That's why the baby that was a result of that first union was not going to live. Shlomo, which was already a offspring of it. So David HaMelech, and we'll see the trauma David HaMelech had from this, this event colors his life. It colors his personal life. It colors his monarchy. And it follows him into the grave. So the Gemara over here follows, David HaMelech did also profound tshuva for this. So finally, David HaMelech turns to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and he says, God, forgive me. Forgive me for the sin with Bathsheba. Omer, Kvar Asid Shlomo bin Chalomar b'chachma. So look what God says to David HaMelech. He says, well, you know what? Your son Shlomo one day is going to say, Hayechate ish b'cheko. Could a man put a coal by his chest within his clothing and he won't get burned? Could a man walk on coals and his feet not get burned? So to a man that is with his friend's wife, there will be no cleansing from he who touches her. So what HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells David HaMelech is, what do you want? You committed a very serious transgression. Again, remember, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not really so concerned with the... Well, let me say this the right way. Despite the fact that David did not commit adultery in a technical sense, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was still horribly disappointed in his behavior. He's the king, he's the anointed one of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, what do you want? You did something really terrible. Even if, again, on the technical halachic level, it wasn't adultery, what you did was still wrong. So what do you expect? There are not going to be ramifications from that? So Amar Lei, Kol Hachi Nitra Dehu Gavra. Talamah says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God, you have no idea how much I've suffered. And we'll see that suffering. You have no idea already how much I have suffered for that sin. Amar Lo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to David HaMelech, Kabel Alecha Yisurin. Accept upon yourself suffering. We know that Yisurin, suffering, physical suffering, has a cleansing effect on the soul. So accept upon yourself to suffer. David HaMelech says, fine, keep it alive. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, Shisha Chadoshim Nitzara David. For 6 months, David HaMelech became a Metzora. Contracted Tzara'as. Now remember, Tzara'as, we loosely translate it as leprosy, but it's not really an accurate translation. Tzara'as is a spiritual malady that presents with physical symptoms. It is an external physical display of spiritual sickness. Whether, again, that was Lashon Hara or something else, when you were spiritually sick. So for the king of Israel to get Tzara'as was an incredible thing. And I also understand when you have Tzara'as, what happens? You can't live within the Jewish people. The Metzora is outside. He's outside. Can you imagine this? The king of the Jewish people, David HaMelech, forget about not living in his palace, not living in his castle. He's not living within a populated area. And this goes on for 6 months. And during those 6 months, Nistalka him and Shechina, ultimately the Shechina departed from him, meaning Kadosh Baruch Hu didn't talk to him, Upirshum and a Sanhedrin. And the Sanhedrin, the high court, also did not consult with him. Or in other words, he was put on administrative leave. David HaMelech for 6 months, not furlough. This is mamish, like this is, he's out. He's out for 6 months. He essentially was alone and on his own. And that's Yisroel, that's suffering on many levels. It's Yisroel physically because of the tzaras. The notion of being banished by God, that God will not communicate to you, is obviously very dramatic, and cut off from your people is exceptionally traumatic as well. So all this goes on. So it would appear, you would think based on this, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to forgive David. Right, so that's it. David says, forgive me, I've sinned, I've done tshuva. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, there are repercussions. Accept upon yourself suffering. And David HaMelech says, okay, I accept suffering. And he has three tiers of suffering. Physical suffering, spiritual suffering, and social suffering. Come to number six. The Gemara Masechet Shabbos says, David HaMelech says in Tehillim, which is Pei Vav, 86. I have no idea when we're possibly going to get to this capital. I think David HaMelech will be back from Tchinas HaMesim sooner than we get. He could teach it to us. But all right. David HaMelech says, Asei imi os letova, v'yiru sonai ve'evoshu. So David HaMelech literally says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God, give to me a sign for good, and that my enemies should see it and they should be humiliated. Amar David, so what does this mean? Amar David HaKadosh Baruch Hu. David says to God, Ribono shel olam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ribono shel olam, Mechol li al osa avon. So now you see a second time. Number six, second line in. The English continues on the next page. Oh, actually, the English is here. Excuse me. Mechol ya osa avon. David HaMelech again says to God, forgive me for that sin. That being Batsheva. Forgive me. Amar lo, Mechol lecha. And now, amazing enough, what happens? God says, I forgive you. So it's amazing. In number five, Masechet Sanhedrin, God said, God didn't forgive David. After the suffering, apparently, HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgave David HaMelech. So, but David HaMelech is not content. Amar lo, Asei imi os bechayai. So David HaMelech says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, okay, God, I have one more request. And what's the request? You need to give me a tangible sign that you have forgiven me. Now, not that David needs the tangible sign, but why does he need the tangible sign? For everyone else. Because everyone thinks I'm an adulterer. Everyone thinks I'm a sinner. I need you to give me a tangible sign of you. God, I take you at your word. It's not that I don't trust you. But I could tell everybody you forgave me, but no one's going to believe me. Give me a sign that I've been forgiven. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Amar lo, b'chayecha eini modia. No, I'm not going to give you a sign during your lifetime, but b'chaye Shlomo bincha ani modia. But during the lifetime of your son Shlomo, I'll give you a sign then. So now when you're dead and Shlomo is king, I will give the populace a sign that you indeed were forgiven, that you had done tshuva, and that your culpability for the sin of Batsheva was purged. So what happened? When did this sign occur? Listen to this. Kishebana Shlomo es beis hamikdash, bikesh lahachnis aron lebeis kotshe akadoshim. When Shlomo built the beis hamikdash, So what did he want to do? He wanted to bring the Aron into the Holy of Holies. And what occurred? So what happened? Dovku sha'arim zubazu. So what occurred? The gates would zebazet. The gates would not open. So what happens? Amar Shlomo esrim ve'arba renonos v'lo na'aneh. Shlomo said 24 different praises to God and the gates still won't open. Pasach va'amar. What did he say? Not his own words. His father's words. Su'u sha'arim roshechen v'hinaschu pischei olam v'yovo melech ha'kavod. He calls out to the gates. Gates, open up. Lift up your heads. Open up and make way for the King of Glory. Now when he said this, whatever this means, the gates ran after him to swallow him up. To swallow Shlomo up. Now why do they want to swallow Shlomo up? Because the gates thought that Shlomo HaMelech was referring to himself. The gates, the Beis Hamikdash thought that Shlomo HaMelech, when he said, open up because the Melech HaKavod is here. Who's the Melech HaKavod? They thought Shlomo was saying, a chutzpah? A chutzpah, you mortal man, have the chutzpah to go out and call yourself the King of Glory while you stand here before the abode of God. So Shlomo HaMelech quickly says, Amru, no. Mihuze Melech HaKavod? Amru lehu, Hashem izuz v'gibor. Shlomo HaMelech again says, You didn't let me finish. Let me say the next pasuk. And he says, who is the King of Glory to whom I refer to? It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the mighty King of Valor. V'zchazer v'amar. The gates still don't open. What happens? Chazer v'amar. Su'usharim roshechem usu pischei olam ve'omel ha'kavod. Once again, Shlomo HaMelech says, open up gates. Lift up your heads. Open up. Allow the King of Glory to come in. Mihu ze melech ha'kavod. Hashem tzevakos melech ha'kavod sela v'lo na'ane. So amazingly enough, Shlomo HaMelech has just said, Psukim Zayin Ches Tes and Yud of Kapitel Chav Dalid, and the gates still have not opened. Kevan Sha'amar, Hashem Elokim, Al Toshev Pinei Mishichecha. But then when Shlomo HaMelech finally says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please, don't turn away your anointed one. Zachra Lechasdei David Avdecha. Shlomo HaMelech, what does he do? He brings up the memory of his father. He says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I stand here before you not just as Shlomo, but I stand here before you as Shlomo ben David. I stand here before you as the son of your anointed one. If you won't open up the gates for me, open up the gates for my father. Miyad na'aneh. And dramatically, in that moment, the gates opened up. Ba'osa sha'a nepchu p'nei kol soni David kishulei kedera. In that moment, all the faces of David HaMelech's enemies literally became as black as the bottom of a pot. What that means is they became like it doesn't really mean black. What it means is they became like ashen, right? The color drained from their face. Because what did they realize? They realized that the man who they so mercilessly persecuted all the years of his life, David HaMelech, was indeed forgiven by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'yodu kala'am v'kol Yisrael shemachalo HaKadosh Baruch Hu al osa avon. And it was in that moment that the entire Jewish populace realized that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had indeed forgiven David for the entire episode with Bathsheba. So what comes out from this are a couple of very interesting things. So now already you see the relevance of these four psukim is that these are the very psukim that Shlomo HaMelech said in order to get the gates to open up. But before we tie back to the kapitel, we have to ask a different question, which is, why wouldn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu give David a sign during his lifetime? Meaning, if God had indeed forgiven David, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I've forgiven you, you've done tshuva, we make mistakes, sometimes very serious mistakes, but if we are sincere in our tshuva, HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgives us, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, David, I've forgiven you, so why don't you give him a sign? And just so you understand how intense this question is, look at number 7. The Gemara Masechet Sanhedrin gives us a window into David HaMelech's life. Amar David ni HaKadosh Baruch Hu, David says to God, Ribono shel olam galui v'yadu lefanecha. God, you know, I have to tell you, she'im hayu korin bisari lo haya dami shoseis. The other mouth says something so dramatic. God, you know that if you were to cut my flesh, there would be no blood that would come out. What David HaMelech is saying is, I've been humiliated so much that I feel more dead than I feel alive. V'lo od, ela b'sha'a she'im oskim ba'arba misos beizdin. So David HaMelech, let me tell you what happens. When I sit in the Beis Medrash and they're learning, And they deal with the relevant topics of Arba Misos Beis Din, means there are four different forms of death penalties that could be administered by the high court that sat in Yerushalayim. And when they would discuss the different, and there are a lot of intricacies that go into those laws. When we discuss the various laws concerning the different forms of execution, Poskin Mimishnasan, the rabbis stop their learning. And what do they do? Va'omrimli, they say to me, and it's in front of everyone, David, Habo al Eishes Ish Misaso Bimna. They taunt me, Ribono Shel Olam. And they ask me, David, tell us, what is the punishment for a man who commits adultery? They shame me. They humiliate me. They taunt me. And I say to them, to tell you the truth, Habo al Eishes Ish Misaso Bechenek. If somebody goes ahead and commits adultery, his misa is with chenek, with strangulation. But I'll tell you something else. V'yesh lo chelik lo mhaba. But after he dies, he has a portion of the world to come. But one who embarrasses another in public doesn't have a portion of the world to come. So I might be an adulterer, and I'll have to deal with my sins, but I know where I'm going after 120, or after David HaMelech's case after 70. But you people who are embarrassing me in the Beis Medrash, I also know where you're going after 120. But why am I sharing this with you? Because David HaMelech, and this is just one example, that, you know, I mentioned this before. Great people generally become great when they're dead. Right? If you look at the history of great people, especially Jewish great people, right, when they're alive, they are so mistreated. If you look how Moshe Rabbeinu was treated by our forefathers, it's embarrassing. It's embarrassing. We are the offspring of those who mistreated Moshe Rabbeinu so horribly. Okay, when he died, everybody cries. It's the same way that when you go to a levaya, you know, everybody stands up for the Aron as they're taking the casket out. Who knows how that person was treated? Because, you know, the difference is, people, we have a lot of respect for Judaica, but we don't have a lot of respect for people. So when a person dies, they're no longer a person. Suddenly they become Judaica. So everybody has a lot of, so we still stand up, everybody stands up, you know, it's big. So Judaica we respect, people we don't usually respect. David HaMelech, if you look at his life, how he was mistreated by his constituents, the constituents whom he fought for, the constituents whom he labored for, the constituents, remember we spoke about in last session, how David HaMelech gave up any trappings of a normal life to be the king of the Jewish people, but they taunted him mercilessly. See, he persevered, he overcame it, he was a big boy, he was able to suffer the taunts and the insults because he knew he had a job to do and knew that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had forgiven him. But now we also understand why he was so desperate for an objective sign of forgiveness during his lifetime. So why doesn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu give it to him? If indeed God had forgiven him for the sin of Bathsheba, why not give him the tangible display of divine forgiveness? And take a look at number 8. The Gemara Maseches Avodah Zarah explains why. V'hainu dan Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shimon Yochai. Lo haya ro'i, lo David ro'i la'osa maisa. So the Gemara says, literally it means, David was not fit for this episode. What Rabbi Shimon Yochai is saying is, out of all the people to have a moral lapse, it is strange that it happened with David HaMelech. Strange. And often you'll see that great people sometimes make the most ridiculous mistakes that you wonder to yourself, how could you have ever have allowed yourself to get drawn into this? So Shema Yachai says, I'll tell you why. So why did it happen this way? So the Rav Shema Yachai says something amazing. Do you know why David, not why David HaMelech sinned? David HaMelech sinned because he had a moment of weakness, just like everybody has moments of weakness. But why did it have to happen? You know, David HaMelech just is at that moment, at that time when Bathsheba's bathing on her roof, which again in of itself is a strange thing. The Gemara says that a person should not do private activities in places that may be visible to the public. Why should? So there's such a confluence of events that occurred that led David HaMelech to sin. David HaMelech made his own choice. He made a decision. He exercised his bichur. The Gemara is not trying to remove his decision. The Gemara is saying, you know what we learn from this? What we learn from this is sometimes when someone who is high profile does something wrong, it serves as an incredible lesson for everyone else. So what's the lesson? The lesson of David HaMelech is a lesson of tshuva. If you think that you've messed up badly in your life and there's no way for you to engage in course correcting activity, it's not true. Unless you think that it's just the line, it's not true. There's a real life example, and his name is David HaMelech. He messed up horribly. He messed up terribly. He derailed certain parts of his life, and there was terrible, tragic collateral damage, but he got his life back on track. Says the Gemara, David HaMelech is a paradigm for tshuva. David HaMelech is an example for all future generations of the ability to get yourself back up even when you've fallen down in such a miserable fashion. But there's one caveat in this. The paradigm also has a second piece with it, which is, you know, sometimes when people change, and sometimes people have an incredible courage to change, and people want life to be different, they expect all of the pieces to just come back into place. You know, I've made a decision to change. I've made a decision to live differently. So every aspect of life should now cooperate with my new decision and my new life. And you know, it doesn't work that way in life. Sometimes you make decisions, and we all make decisions, and those decisions create certain realities. And even when we realize that those decisions were wrong, and we want to engage in course-correcting activities and want to turn our life around, sometimes you can't change all of the other pieces around you. Sometimes you have to realize that there are certain consequences from what you did, and you will not be able to correct them. You have to live with them. You'll have to now do the best with the reality that you are given. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to David HaMelech, you know, in order for you to be, if I give you a sign, if I give you a tangible sign of forgiveness, then you won't be a good model for future generations. Why? Why? Because most of us don't get tangible signs from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we are forgiven or we're not forgiven. In fact, for most of us, what's the greatest challenge of tshuva? Besides actually the dynamic of change, sometimes the greatest dynamic of tshuva is, has God forgiven me? Has the Ribono Shlom, and this is not just a theological question. This is a profound question that many struggle with, because if God hasn't forgiven me, do I have the ability to forgive myself? You'd be surprised, you wouldn't be surprised, how many people go through life not forgiving themselves for mistakes they have made. Part of that is rooted because, how could I forgive myself if I don't know if HaKadosh Baruch Hu has really forgiven me? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, David, listen, you're going to have a leg up on everyone else in that you and I are having this conversation. So at least you know that I've actually forgiven you, but I'm not giving you the sign. Because in order for you to serve as a paradigm for future generations, you have to show them, A, the ability to do tshuva, and the ability to do tshuva without a tangible display of forgiveness from above. Because part of what tshuva means is, I believe that I have been forgiven, I believe that I am sincere in my desire to change, and therefore I believe that I have the ability to get my life back in order. All the pieces that I want to fall into place may not. I may not be able to reverse certain dynamics, but I have to go on nevertheless. This was the essence of David HaMelech. So ultimately, if you bring this all together, what's happening here is something amazing. What is David HaMelech saying in Se'u Sha'arim Rasheichem? What is he really singing about? What is he singing about? David HaMelech is singing about the idea that he knows that the day is going to come where everyone is going to see that he was forgiven. But what's the catch? He won't be around to see that day. That day, till his dying day, he's going to be tormented, he's going to be mistreated, he's going to be judged by many of his constituents, even though he knows that the Ribono Shel Olam has in fact forgiven him. But nevertheless, he finds the strength to rejoice in the fact that what? That one day, his reputation will be purged. One day, the populace will see that he has been forgiven. One day, when they are so desperate to get into the Beis HaMikdash, the only way to get in is how? By invoking the memory of David HaMelech. And now when we bring this all together and we close out this kapitel, we see something truly beautiful, which is that the kapitel itself really captures one theme from beginning to end. Do you remember how we began this kapitel 2 shiurim ago? Mizmor LeDavid. David HaMelech is in such a state of elation. Why? Because he just purchased the threshing, like I mentioned before, he just purchased the threshing floor of Aravna HaYevusi, the future site of the Beis HaMikdash. And David HaMelech wants more than anything to build. But he also knows that when the Ribono Shel Olam tells you that it's not going to happen, God sometimes says that, but he doesn't really mean it. He's giving you an opening to push a little bit harder. But sometimes when God says, we're not having the conversation anymore, it means that it's over. But yet, what does David HaMelech do? David HaMelech has the ability to find the joy, to find the simcha, to sing in the beauty of his present life circumstances, even though what? They're not optimal. I'd love to build the Beis HaMikdash, but it ain't gonna happen. It's not, no matter what, doesn't matter how much I cry, doesn't matter how much, it's not going to happen. Okay, so like we said to Shi'urim ago, I have a choice. And the choice is, I could cry, I could lament, woe is me, I'm not gonna get to do what I want to do, or I could say, you know what? Baruch Hashem, I have this beautiful opportunity in front of me. I get to purchase the few, I get to put in the sign. This is the future site of the Beis HaMikdash, you know, financed by God. I have the ability to go ahead and do that. It's not perfect. It's not the image I had. It's not what I wanted to do, but it's what I'm able to do. And now go to the end of the kapitel. What does David HaMelech say? Su'usharim Rasheichem. Why is he mentioning this now? And the answer is because prophetically, what is he singing? He's singing the very words, the very song that is going to be sung just a few years later when he's long gone, but his son Shlomo is going to inaugurate the Beis HaMikdash. And why is he singing that song? Because what David HaMelech wants more than anything is for the people to see that he's not a sinner. That's what he wants, not for his own covet, because no one wants to be a sinner, and no one wants to be thought of as a sinner. And the notion that others are looking down on me is a very uncomfortable thing. And remember, the king also represents the glory of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which means if my honor is impugned, somebody the honor of God is impugned. And so he sings those very verses that his son Shlomo are going to sing at the entrance of the Beis HaMikdash. And David HaMelech also knows prophetically that what's going to happen. He knows that those lines by themselves, to Sharm HaSheikhim, as beautiful as they are not going to be enough to open up those gates. When will the gates open up? Only once Shlomo HaMelech says the name of his father. Only when he says those three letters, Dalet, Vez, Dalet, David. Only once he says that will those gates open. And David HaMelech knows that the day will come when he will be forgiven. He's already been forgiven, but the day will come when everyone will know that he was forgiven. The day will come that as much as the people know that David HaMelech made a mistake, they'll also know that he has now become, in addition to all of his other incredible accomplishments, he has become a paradigm for tshuva. And so in essence, what has occurred in this kapitel is this idea that sometimes the greatest accomplishment in life is not necessarily doing what you pine to do, because we all have great dreams and aspirations. Sometimes that's not the greatest accomplishment in life. Sometimes the greatest accomplishment in life is finding the meaning, finding the beauty in your current circumstances, and realizing that sometimes you have to content yourself with the idea that what you want is not going to materialize. The pieces that you want are not going to fall into place, but that's okay, as long as you know that you've put in all the requisite effort. Now what it becomes about is, how do I maximize my current circumstances? And there's something else, which is what David HaMelech teaches us in this kapitel, is that a person has to live life with the belief that everything at the end of the day works out. The only variable is what? How long the day is. The end of the day could sometimes be the end of the day, and sometimes the end of the day could be the end of many, many generations. But you have to live life with a sense of optimism. You know, there are some people who go through life and they're waiting for the next, what is it, next shoe to drop? Is that the expression? Next shoe to drop? Yeah. What? The other shoe to drop. I don't know what it means regardless, but okay. You know, they're waiting like for the sky to fall down around them. And there are people like that who walk through life, they're just waiting, what's the next bad thing that's gonna happen? And sometimes that's because when a person lives life with a lot of trauma and a lot of difficulty and a lot of setbacks, it becomes normal that you lower your expectations. Never lower your expectations of life. Because even if things don't go according to plan right now, you have to believe with an unbridled sense of optimism that some way, somehow, things are going to come together. Look at David HaMelech. And the truth is, you know, when you read this kapitel, you could almost be driven to tears. Because you could imagine David HaMelech standing on that site. And here you see this poor man. He's given, remember, we always go through the life history. He was mistreated by his family. He was mistreated by everyone in his life. He really was. And all he wants is to do good. That's all he wants. He doesn't want wealth. He doesn't want fame. He doesn't want glory. He just wants to do good. I want to build you a Beis HaMikdash. That's all I want, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I just want to know that if you've really forgiven me, why do I have to go through life being taunted? Why can't you just show them that you've forgiven me? But he accepts the fact that all those things that he wants so badly are going to happen. They're not going to happen on his time frame. And you know what? You have to live life with a good dose of Davidic humility. because Davidic humility means just because you want it now doesn't mean that it's supposed to come now. How often we come before HaKadosh Baruch Hu and we say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we want it now. I need this. And again, sometimes they're very important things. Parnasa, refuah, something for someone else. And we get so upset when HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't give it to us. Right? It was so sincere. God's not listening. And it brings us to a crisis of faith. You'll excuse me. Who am I to have a crisis of faith? Who am I to go ahead and challenge Ribbono Shel Olam? I mean, I have a right to ask questions, but what arrogance to presume that because I ask for it now, that it should be delivered to me. I'm like the child in the store who should share my feelings. Right? Meaning, because I desire it now, it should be delivered to me now? Because I think that this moment is the right time, that means what it... It's not true. There are so many things I don't know. So many things that... So I do my best. Yes, I come before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and I'm a limited human being. And so I give you my request, God, because I think I need this now. I think I want this now. I think this is necessary now. But Ribbono Shel Olam, I have to also come with you with a good dose of David HaMelech humility. And the David HaMelech humility means there are many beautiful things we want in life. And you know what? If it's meaningful, and if it's good, and if it's holy, it will come to fruition. Maybe by you, maybe by your children, maybe by your grandchildren, or maybe through someone else. And that's okay. As long as the job gets done, a person has to feel a sense of contentment and fulfillment. You have to approach life with humility, believing that at the end of the day, some way, somehow, everything will fall into place. Everything will work out. You just have to have patience. And sometimes it's patience in this world, and you have to have patience in the next world as well. But it comes out from this beautiful kapitel, I think, to close out. All right, we'll leave the rest for a different shiur. Are two major ideas. Three major ideas. L'David Mizmor. There are times in life when we are self-inspired, and there are times in life when we have to inspire ourselves. In those moments of self-inspiration, we have to do something with them. Mizmor L'David versus L'David Mizmor. What David HaMelech chose to do was to find contentment and fulfillment in his current circumstances instead of using up all of his emotional energy, yearning and pining for that which he will never have. He understood that despite the fact that life will not turn out as I planned, I could still find beautiful fulfillment and self-actualization in my current circumstances. Lesson number one. Lesson number two, have patience with God. The Ribbono Shel Olam does not work on our timeline, nor should he, because if God worked on our timeline, we'd be in very big trouble. The greatness of the Ribbono Shel Olam is he's Hayahoveh V'yeyeh. He's past, present, future. He works on a different timeline. And so I have to believe that although there may be things that I want, for whatever the reason, whether it's forgiveness or anything else, for whatever the reason, HaKadosh Baruch Hu may have other cheshbonos. We learn from the humility of David HaMelech to accept the fact that sometimes even the good things in life will not materialize in the timeline we want them, but we have enough Davidic humility to believe that some way, somehow, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will always bring everything together, especially if the things that we want are meaningful, beautiful, and holy. All right, we'll stop over here. In Emir Tashem, next week we begin Kapitel Chafei.